You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we present to you the FC Live review of the 17-18 season.
Hi there, Billy McCartney, a former player, and always listen to FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be heading to Broadhurst Park as our FC Live team present their 2017-18 season review. But before that, it's time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some dates for your diary as Kaushik and Malcolm returns to Broadhurst Park this coming Friday in the Function Room with music from Revenge of the Psychotronic Man and Callow Youth, plus the usual quiz, raffle and much, much more. Doors open at 7pm, so make sure you get yourself down to Broadhurst Park this coming Friday night. Elsewhere, and season tickets for next season are now on sale via www.fcumshop.co.uk. The club's pay what you can afford scheme returns, but you can now also spread the cost over a 5-month period, and it's very simple to set up. All you have to do is contact the office on hannah.gorman@fc-utd.net or call 0161 769 2005 and press option 7. And finally, the club, in association with SSE Wildcats, will be hosting girl football sessions every Wednesday afternoon on the Broadhurst Park 3G. The sessions run every Wednesday between 5 and 6pm for girls aged between 5 and 11 at a cost of just £2 per session. For more information, please email tom.conroy@fc-utd.net. And sticking with the women's game, don't forget that FC United's treble chasers will be looking to complete their historic silverware haul this coming Sunday as they look to defend the Argyle Cup. It's not going to be easy though, as FC United's women's team will be taking on higher league opposition in the form of Stockport County. This match will be taking place at Runcorn Linnets Ground. The address is Millbank Linnets Stadium, Merdershire Lane, Cheshire, Runcorn, WA76HP. That's Millbank Linnets Stadium, WA76HP. Kickoff on Sunday will be at 4pm, but as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, WT Live is here. They'll be going to air shortly before kickoff on www.fcumradio.co.uk this coming Sunday. To the men's team now in our season review, and last Saturday before the North Ferriby game, Ben, Swampy, Stato, Paul and Woodzo got together at the back of the main stand for a good natter about the 17-18 season in the FC Live 17-18 season review.
Hello everybody and welcome to this special broadcast where we're looking
back. The
fair's
come to town as well, look. There's a fair. There is. Boston Fair.
Oh, the Boston Fair. That's where the fair was.
Yeah, the fair's over there.
Hey, right.
But there.
Anyway, welcome everyone to this
saw a mouse.
End of 2017-18.
Is this live?
No.
Oh, it's all right then.
Review of the 2017-18 season here on FCUM Radio. Woodzo's with us.
Cheers.
Swampy's with us. Stato Paul is with us. And we're pre-recording this before the match, the last league game of the season against North Ferriby. So
the last game of the season.
Oh, Ben, can we just hold on a second? I've noticed HMP pies are here, and I want to get a pie. And I want to get a brew, so I'm going to leave you.
Anyway, so
I'll hang up. Oh, no, I'm going. One second. Back in a second.
You'll be back in a minute.
Okay. I can edit
heavily
that.
Heavily edited.
Yeah, I can edit that seamlessly. So, mixed bag as seasons go.
Mixed bag.
Yeah, I mean.
Of course, I would say it's been the same season as always. Well, never a dull moment.
Going back to August, yeah. Right, and you know, We have these running. We have these sentences, don't we? Often said, "This is the greatest squad we've ever had here going into the season." Did we expect the start to the season we had?
You know what? On paper, I thought we had a top 10 squad based on the experience of non-league that was in that squad. You know, you sent Justs and your Bakers and your Hugheses and your Wisdoms are all experienced lads. That's the old cliche. Football's not played on paper, is it?
The only caveat that some of those players were experienced in relegation.
I'm not too fussed about that because it's not just down to one or two players. So it's, you know, a team gets relegated, not a player. So
I think sometimes a player can relegate a team. But there you go.
Well, maybe.
I mean, the start to the season wasn't the best. What were you expecting at the start of the season? Because a lot of people were saying top 10 finish.
I thought. I mean, I was at the board meeting when the top 10 finish was mooted to Margie. And I think everybody in that boardroom, it was a bit like the elephant in the room, in that I think we all knew that the top 10 finish was, it was just words. It wasn't going to be something that was deliverable. And I think it was like setting the bar high and hoping that we'd get near it.
Was it setting the bar high? Because we had a decent season. Highest finish we ever had the season before. We won the Manchester Premier Cup. We had a good, exciting young side.
We had two.
We had a bit of experience adding to that young side. So, you know, you would think.
I think. I've said it half time before on here, and I'll say it even again. No, I think we should be a very good, solid mid table side in this league. So, right about 10, 11, 12, 9th even. I mean, ignoring this farce that the playoffs come down to about 15th or whatever it is these days. You know, we shouldn't be. We're not going to challenge the playoffs. Let's be realistic. But we should be a good, solid mid-season. So I didn't think 10 was necessarily unachievable, but it soon became apparent that it probably was.
My concerns were with some of the recruits, to be honest.
I mean, talk about the young players there, though. And you're right, but I mean it became apparent for me on the first day of the season that Mike Jones is going to be a very good player, but that game at Brackley.
FC United of Manchester, there's a poor ball back there for some reason that FC United are helping along, and the substitute 12 lows on the ball, cuts inside, can he get the ball into the penalty area, plays it back, ball again with the number 4, chips it towards the back post, an opportunity, should be a goal. Gaping at the back post again, no one there, defend the ball at the back post, and FC United find themselves 2-1 down. And elementary defending there, the ball at the back post, two men could have headed that there, and well, it was Andy Brown at the back post who slotted it in. Well, I think the problem you've got really is that you set your stall out pre-season, and the pre-season probably wasn't the best of pre-seasons for the youngsters or for the more senior players. They start off the season against Brackley, and it's interesting where Brackley are, the playoffs, Wembley, Fulham as well. And once Brackley get in front, they've been very seldom been pulled back. Yeah. You're right, yeah. I mean, on that day, the best player on that day was Fagbola with a strapped leg.
I touched upon something there, and it's something that, as a radio team, we got quite a bit perplexed about, and that was the number of young players we had towards the end of last season who did impress, who never really got a look in the first stages of the season. And that was a bit surprising, wasn't it?
I think there were concerns about some of the team selections in the first quarter of the season. I thought that the real low point of the season for me...
I was going to go to that.
Wow, are we starting there?
I was going to say that, you know...
Well, we started low and we'll build upwards.
There was a glimmer, though, and that was the Southport game away from home, which, to be fair, if you think back, that had everything about it, didn't it?
We had an overinflated vision of what Southport were going to do this season at that time. And as it turned out, they were a shambolic mess.
Gary Roberts now to the byline, he goes left footed towards the back post, there's a free man there, should be a header, should produce a goal, an equalising goal, and all the hard work, and so the ball went out on his left hand side, it was a tremendous ball in, and it was a great header at the back post, and it was inviting there, and it was a great header downwards beyond FC United's Floyd Allison, and for 3-1 off, FC United by themselves 3-0 with still 3.5 minutes to go, but it was a lovely ball on the halfway line, played onto this left hand side, the ball, well, it was controlled well by Roberts, he picked his man, chipped it to the back post, and a great header downwards, nothing that Allison could do, the FC supporters, and we won't stop, but Bayek, that is a little bit unjust really, but you've got to play all the way through, and FC United now, well, we can't go on and lose this game, because we don't deserve to at all. I think the youngsters really, I think you've got to have belief and trust in your young players if you're going to play them. And I don't think the management at the time thought that they could do a good enough job every week. And that's why they went down the route of bringing some established players in, some players that have got pedigree. But unfortunately, it just didn't gel. You could see quite clearly in the opening five or six games of the season, with the exception of the Southport game, which was, it was entertaining to commentate on, it was entertaining to watch. The discipline, together with a whole lot of other things, the team just wasn't performing. Off the pitch, there was a lot of things going on as well.
I mean,
and just it reflected in the performances of the players.
Just to go back to the Southport game a second.
Even then, we lost the 3-1 lead.
With 3 minutes to go.
I mean, the thing about that Southport match wasn't just the performance on the pitch, which, you know, I mean, Michael Connor played in that game, and that was his debut, and we thought he was decent enough. Yeah.
We thought we signed Beckenbauer.
How many games was it he played?
We thought we signed Franz Beckenbauer.
I mean, you've got the Southport game where you had a brilliant 80 minutes, and then it kind of faded away.
We didn't have a brilliant 80 minutes.
I think that's exaggerating a bit.
Against a team that we all believe were going to be exceptional this season, and it was proven in the early parts of the season that wasn't the case. We were 3-1 up, we drew 3-all, and it was poor.
And then the next game, Bradford Park Avenue away, and that
was a game that tipped me over the edge, to be fair.
Here's another opportunity. So pushing the bat there, he stands up though there, Matt Hill. Surprised he didn't go down holding his ankle. So an opportunity now, it should be three.
And no offside given, it's a goal.
It is three. And it's Wayne Brooksky again. Words fail me, Ben.
Well, you wouldn't be surprised to know, dear listener, that the amount of opportunities Bradford had there, or FC had, to pressure the ball.
Maybe clear the lines.
I get it cleared. was unbelievable. And then the amount of time that Bradford Park Avenue had to pass it around the 18-yard box was lovely for them.
I might have stopped the commentating now. That was, again, just dreadful. Absolutely dreadful from FC United of Manchester. They just nonchalantly passed the ball around, and they gave FC an opportunity on more than one occasion to clear the lines. They chose not to.
And just to rub some salt in the wound, at the moment, it's Blyth Spartans 0, North Ferriby United 1. So this...
Well, if it stays like that, FC will be bottom of the division.
What was wrong with that Bradford game other than everything?
Everything.
But it was systematic of the way the team were performing at the time, the way on and off the pitch things were happening. And all you could say was basically that typified what FC was about at the time. We were atrocious.
There was one player, Joel
Senior was targeted that day.
Well, yes. He was.
And he wasn't given any support on the pitch.
That was a low point for Joel Senior.
He was targeted because, I mean, at Southport, we had the Bradford scout sat next to us, and you knew that he'd seen in the last few minutes, certainly, at Southport.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Had carried into that game because it was obvious. But Bradford, go back to the Bradford game, though. You know, we had a lad playing there who... I think for the first time ever in 13 years, I felt sorry for a player playing for us, because Tom Brown was so far out of his depth, and the management just left him on the pitch.
This was a game where Lewis Lacey played a part. He took three throw-ins.
He wore the number 9 shirt.
He sprinted for the ball, didn't he, when we were 3-0 down, which was the fastest he'd moved all game. It was like, what's the point of that?
There was a discussion we were having at the time, from memory, about the fact that, you know, it was pretty obvious within the first 5 minutes to target Joel Senior. That's where most of the goals came from that game. And we weren't flexible enough to change it. And like you say, Tom Brown in that game, Lewis Lacey in that game, it was key. It was clear that stuff wasn't working. You've still got players who can adapt to a changing formation, but we just never changed it, and we got battered for it.
We were ultimately...
To say we were woeful was generous.
In all fairness, the early parts of the season, the games included, were very up and down, were very poor. Yeah, Joel Senior was targeted, and he was targeted because basically the scouting report was a good one. They knew if they get up behind him, as you know, we've had that in the past with players, that you target certain individuals, and it's then the job of the management to rectify that, see the situation, and then change it. I didn't think we had that at the time. I think, as we all now know, Carl was coming to his end of his tenure. He was, probably hoping it happened sooner rather than later. As things were going on, it was one of those where you started to worry and feel sorry for him, because this person who's been instrumental in everything FC United, or all of a sudden look a shadow of his former self, of which some he'll have to take the blame for, and equally, you know, others and other situations haven't helped. But ultimately, when they're down on that touchline, they've got to be able to dictate, tell players if we're doing well, encourage, if we're not, absolutely. Roll up him
and,
off.
And, I mean, and do our own scout report, which is something that we were critical of for a long time, that we just weren't really getting to grips with the opposition.
I mean that Bradford game wasn't the lowest point for me. Well,
oh no, that wasn't the lowest.
To me, the Charlie game was the lowest.
We'll come to Charlie in a second. I mean, I just want to talk about York City before that.
But even, Swampy, that's what I think on. Swampy just touched on something there, but on the touchline, even before the season, a little, let's talk about margin, you know, and I watched a documentary the week about the Ferguson Wenger thing, and they were talking about Wenger's marginal gains. We had a marginal gain, and our previous management decided to give that to someone else by swabbing dugouts. So we have the line that always runs that half of the pitch.
Well, that was
and straight away we had the away team in the ears of the line.
Yeah, that was
the Spennymoor game. Yeah.
Little things. It's like, why?
I mean, let's go to the York game.
York game was an oasis in the season in a way, wasn't it?
Are they just going to continue to utilise this all through the game from the halfway line?
Every throw-in now is going to be a long one by the same player, and no matter how long it takes for him to get from one side to the other.
And with
13 minutes
to go, another ball into the penalty area. Who's going to get at the end of it this time? Was a header at the back post by again Fagbola. Ball flicked back in. So you got to be careful here. Ball comes across to three players and it's cleared this time by Wisden. So the ball now back with the home team, and shows a bit too much of the ball there. Does the left back and FC United can come away with it? A bit of a break. A lovely touch by
now
Greaves. Now we need Hooper to play the ball out left hand side or right. Can he bring in Greaves? Oh, he plays a reverse ball. It's an opportunity. Now go Christos. A great save. But Greaves has scored a goal. It was great work from FC United and Manchester's Gilchrist, who's down. Polak's injured. He got the shot away. It was a lovely ball in. And there was Worsnop. He got the save there. But there was Tom Greaves. He's just been on the pitch. And he stabs it into the back of the net. And FC United find themselves a goal up here at Bootham Crescent, and there is a silence and hush around this ground, apart from FC in the far corner.
This smacks of the great train robbery. Is that obscene? It's Tom Greaves generally on the spot.
It's funny you mention it all going quiet. Everyone seems to be staring at us now, mate.
Well, we were a bit noisy.
Little did we know how much of a diamond in the rough that game was going to be, because it was our only away win for Yonks.
But if you think about it, the Brackley game, which we started with, that set the template for the away form all season, and we didn't realise it, but that was the thing that was going to get repeated again and again. But York were undone by themselves, if we remember.
Yeah, they changed tack. Blew it. Yeah.
In all fairness, it's interesting, because when we did the commentary for that game, yes, we were very critical of the way that York... But if you actually do look at that first half, we did have a number of good chances.
We did.
You know, so we could have actually been two or three up. We got a result, and you know, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes a manager thinks, well, the only way they could break down FC this afternoon is to have a 55-yard throw-in. Ultimately, it got that manager the sack. Mm. You know, we came away from that very, very happy. You know, we none of us expected to go out and win the game, in all fairness.
Is it another Southport situation where we basically went, well, we've just got to win against York?
Well, I don't think there was any pressure on us at York, because the expectation was York would win anyway.
Happened the other week at Harrogate when there was no pressure on us. it's a free hit.
After that York game, there was a series of defeats.
We were hit for six.
There was a series of defeats, but there were games like Blyth Spartans here at Broadhurst where, even though we got beat 3-1, it still felt like it was a great game,
and it was an end-to-end that. And to be fair, we weren't 3-1 behind them in that game. You know, they got a couple of good players that we know going forward.
Maguire's top corner.
Yeah,
I think it flattered him a bit. 3-1.
Yeah, it did.
Horner takes his throw in to Reid. That's a good turn from Reid.
He's going to go
there.
Right in the throat now.
Reid goes one way, heading out to his right hand side, plays the ball to Maguire. Maguire now on his left foot, shoots for Fisto.
Get in there.
And that is what you call a world class strike. And we were right behind that goal. And Dan Maguire,
that was a terrific, tremendous goal there.
He fashioned just enough a bit of space for himself. Let rip with a left foot.
Yeah,
and it was absolutely arrowing into the corner, wasn't it? Terrific strike.
And those are the margins, dear listeners. A slice clearance, really, giving the possession back
And, well...
But then you come to, you know...
well, you can see it here.
Curzon away.
Yeah, Curzon away. The Darlington away. And that's the other thing, the Darlington away. Let's talk about the disciplinary in the first half of the season.
We're down to nine men suddenly.
All given away. It's a poor ball. It allows Connor, Mike Connor, to try to charge on the right-hand side. And be careful, Connor. Oh, he's going to get himself sent off here. He won the free kick. The referee, I think, is going to go over to see the assistant referee and speak to him, because his elbow came out, his arm came out right across the player's head. And there's pushing and shoving and all sorts going on. And I think the assistant referee has probably seen that. And I think it will be... another card, and I think it will be a yellow for Mike Connor if he's not careful here, and it could be a sending off. They clearly all saw it at the bench.
He got involved a couple of minutes ago with a silly incident on the touchline. He's gone and done it again.
Well, he's off. Mike Connor is going to be sent off because he has been booked already, unless he's going to have a stern talking to.
No, I don't think so. Card's out.
Yep, gone.
Goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? 2-0 down, nine men of FC.
How bad has the disciplinary been, especially before Christmas?
How disappointing is that as owners of a
football club?
Listen, it was very, very poor. I would have hoped that the club made those individual players pay their own fines, opposed to the ones that they should. You know, we always said, haven't we, if someone does something ridiculous on a football pitch and they get sent off, then for me, you pay your own fine. If it's something that basically... is at the referee's discretion, you're thinking, then the club pay it. The discipline was very, very poor, but the whole thing for me at the time was we weren't playing the right team. We were playing players that weren't, in my opinion, good enough. And we're bringing players in that hadn't played for years and they were just thrown straight in. And you could see the chaos on the pitch. You could then see the chaos on the dugout, the chaos within the club. There was a lack of unity as well.
There was a bit of inevitability about it. I mean, we went to, me and you commentated, Paul, on Answorth Parrymore. And
yeah, that was another nightmare, really. Against a poor lower division side.
Ball cleared high. Who's under it? Well, FC United let it bounce. Brady there doing enough, but the ball is still with Handsworth. It breaks to Handsworth. Oh, no. And FC United have conceded a goal there with Pat Lindley right on 90 minutes. And as a defender...
And a horrible mess in front.
As a defender at school and playing Sunday League, I was always told, don't let it bounce. FC United decided to let it bounce not just once, twice, three times. It was bobbling all over the place. No one in FC United's defence was taking control of that ball. It breaks there to that man, Pat Lindley, and it was a scruffy goal, but it's an equaliser.
In
the 90th minute, and that's probably back to Broadhurst Park, unless FC United could pull something out of the bag here in the closing stages.
And that's Tuesday evening. 3 minutes for FC to force a win here.
And, the goalkeeper does a Sam Ashley impression, and you said it earlier, we're having a bit of a...
The word rue came in, didn't it?
Oh, dear.
We scraped a replay.
I think we're sort of rewriting history a little bit. We didn't scrape a replay.
We struggled to score all day.
Are you telling me, towards the end of that game, you were expecting Handsworth to win it? Because I was.
No, but I don't expect a player to be flagged offside when he's 5 yards on.
Well, there is that.
And these things are the marginal things. It was clearly, you know, you watched the video back.
I watched.
And it's not even close. I
listened to the game because I was actually driving back up the M6 and... in fact, I think the journey on the M6, even though we're stuck in traffic for 3 hours, sounded
better
more
than the game.
Sounded better than the commentary on the actual afternoon. But I think you're right. I mean, you know, in the FA Cup, in all fairness, if you're playing a team that are a lot lower than you in the division, they're up for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The refereeing isn't always of the same standard, so therefore things can conspire against you. FC got a result. Doesn't matter how they got a result in that game and brought them back here and then duly dispatched them. Did exactly what they should have done in the first game. And you've seen that at the very highest level of football going all the way down.
And then the Stockport counter. And at that point, you're like, yes.
I am tempted. I was so
disciplinary aside, yes. Nine men, sure. But yeah, we beat Stockport County here.
To get a replay there from three down.
Yeah.
That was a magical second half.
Corner comes in. He was on the end of it.
Yeah.
We had an opportunity.
Oh!
FC have taken the lead. John Greaves, a static defence from Stockport County, and the crowd go absolutely wild. And John Greaves is running the goalkeeper where he scores, and FC United take a lead that no one would have predicted. But Stockport County, as I say, they have looked so under the cosh in so many regards, done all the work, undone everything themselves, and FC take a lead.
And Tom Greaves, 6 yard man, he's there again, little touch on the ball, they couldn't clear it.
You know what, I think I'll have a chip. Let's not forget, in between that, that was the week Tom had been sent out to Ramsbottom.
Mm. Oh yeah, to Ramsbottom.
Had half a game, and then on the Saturday, saved the blushes of FC by taking it to a replay against Stockport County and playing here.
And then scoring the winner.
And then scoring the winner,
against
yeah.
nine
you
men.
Know, so it's,
was this the infamous Jim Gannon interview as well, post-match?
I think that was the time.
It wasn't post-match, it was actually
a couple of days later.
It was after reflection.
Yeah, so... Well, there you go.
Well, the famous relegation.
Yeah, you'll be relegated.
To be fair, though, people brought that back a couple of weeks when we were safe.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Maybe he didn't get on with Carl and the rest of it, because as soon as Tom took over, he gave an interview
where
we played him again and said the exact opposite. They're great, they're a good side, and they'll stay up. It was like...
He spoke to Tom personally.
He did indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot to do on the touchline that evening as well, wasn't there?
Yes. So. There's a lot.
There was no love lost. No. So you got the high. Then North Ferriby away.
It's Rozonka down the byline. He goes, cuts inside. Can he get a decent ball in? It's near post ball. An opportunity. First time shot. Oh, what a great goal! What a great equaliser! But great ball down the right hand side, and some great football and great crossing by the number 16 substitute, Callum Rozonka. And then who was on the end of it? It was the number 9, was it? It was indeed.
Yeah.
He's got second of the game. And that was a great finish. That was Tom Greaves-esque. He got his body in the right position and he swiveled with the ball, and it was beyond FC's goalkeeper. And what we can say is there's not been a bad goal in this game, but there's been some dreadful defending.
I can't say we've felt secure at 3-2 at any stage.
Again, but let's put it into real context. Yes, we should have won the game. The player that made the difference was almost like we were into Northwest County's Ringer territory. They coincidentally bring somebody in the week we're playing them again. It's just so, you know.
No, here's a bit of context.
It wasn't as bad as that.
It was October, and they'd scored 4 goals.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying three. That's
yeah.
That,
and they
that
hadn't
one
won.
Game.
They hadn't won a game in 8.
They'd won at Blythe, and that was it.
Yeah,
see,
but
they have
scored 4 goals all season.
How many points have they got this season going into this
18.
Game? 18.
It wasn't a coincidence.
They've won three games now.
It wasn't a coincidence that he'd come in because they needed.
I'm putting into context of he made a difference for them.
He did make a difference, but in the same way as we have over many
We've
seasons,
done the same, haven't
Colin
we?
Little comes in and scores phenomenal goals for us.
That's football.
You know, so
that's the name of the game.
And we should be able to contend with that. And we have the calibre of player to be able to do so.
North Ferriby was points thrown away again.
And this is October.
Yeah,
it's not just the North Ferriby game, which was a bad result.
No.
You've got Telford in the cup.
That was my low.
It's not like we didn't need the money.
It was 1-1. It was 1-1 at 90 minutes. We needed a cup run badly financially, and we capitulated. In added time, twice.
Linfield, great ball to the penalty area. He's defended really well. And this is Murphy. It's a long ball. And Fag Bowler can't afford to lose that ball. Well, he defends it well. And here's Marsden now in the penalty. Can he make it 3? He takes it to the byline. And FC United just gone the 6s and 7s. Ball at the back post. First time shot comes in. And can he make it 3? It is 3. And that is Telford into the next round of the FA Cup. And it was Lewis McCauley, the substitute, and he took it superbly well. The number 8, Henry Cowens, though, let the ball roll over him, and then he just slotted it into the bottom corner. Nothing FC's goalkeeper could do there. And, well, from remonstrating with the referee, from booing certain parts of the game, the home team are now definitely into the next round of the FA Cup.
That was the worst for me of the whole season. That was the low.
I tend to agree, simply because when we get back into a game, we have an opportunity to, to make some money, and then we,
especially after the Stockport match,
as players and as a manager, you've got to just say, look, now calm down. Let's not go beyond the halfway line. We've got a couple of minutes to go, if that. But then you've got your left back or your right back bombing up, and they're out of position, and basically they go and score from that. it just showed a lack of experience from the management, as far as I'm concerned, and the player in question, because the player in question
should know better.
Should know better.
And that, he's one of the players who we were talking about bringing experience into this.
Absolutely.
The final whistle at Telford was, in all intents and purposes, the end of Margie's career at FC.
He still had one game left.
Well, he did, and this is my joint low.
I think he'd already shaped his future by then.
Your low, I think, is Charlie.
Well, Telford's alongside him, but Charlie, but for me, when I saw the team sheet, was a low point.
Win, lose, or draw with this one, it's Charlie's low point.
Charlie, you know, I remember being in the stand. In fact, we had a chat. We were having a chat eating pies by the kiosk.
Oh, butter pie. Very nice.
And we got the team sheet. And for the first time ever, I thought things must be bad, because I looked at Woodsell's face and it was like, you're meant to reassure me that we're going in the right direction, Woodsell. And it's like,
wow, you got expectations beyond.
I know.
Everything's sorted.
Woodsell's got it covered. I base it on his face all the time. And that day, it was like, that's the most bizarrest team sheet ever.
It was a resignation selection.
It was.
So, right. Welcome everyone, and we've got a lineup for you. Not just the commentary team, but the visitors.
Well, say hello to the commentary team first.
Hello, Paul. How are you? Oh, sorry. Try again.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Paul's there.
So we've selected a team of 11 players and 5 substitutes, and that concludes team news.
Yes.
Thank you. It's odd.
It's a very strange team. It really is. As far, I mean, I'm flabbergasted in certain ways. Let me just read out the team, and then we can discuss it. In goals, it's Alisson. Then at right back or right.
Right side, anyway.
Right-sided player, anyway. It's Callum Mantap. Danny Wisdom in at left-back. Scott Kay, captain in midfield. Dan Brady and Zach Corbett at centre-halves. Then Craig Linfield in the midfield with Steve Irwin, Sefton Gonzalez, Tom Walker, and then Tim Kinsella. So on the bench, we've got Jordan Fagbola, who's had, in our eyes, pretty not a half-bad season so far. Tom Greaves, who obviously has given us everything and got us very nearly through to the first round of the FA Cup. Jason Gilchrist, top quality goal scorer. Conor McCarthy and young Joel Senior. So it begs the question, today is it a question of just having two big men up top with Sefton Gonzalez and Kinsella trying to rough up the home team this afternoon and keep it tight in the middle of the park? What are your thoughts, guys?
To me, you've got your best defender and your best goal scorer sat on the bench.
It is an odd one. I mean, the only thing we can say as pundits is the fact that we don't see training, and we don't know how they performed in training this week. We do know that based on Marge's post-match interview from Sunday, he did fancy Tim Kinsella. He was commenting.
He was bigging him up. Yes, that's
very
true.
He was commenting on how well he performed in training, and I suppose it does boil down to the fact that as manager, you have to pick what you see on a training pitch, or do you? Is that
well, you don't win. You never win games on a training pitch. And in fairness, the form of Tommy Greaves recently has been exceptional. You know, he's led from the front. He's probably got, in my opinion, Carl, a couple of stays of execution. The way things were going, it looked like, you know, for all intents and purposes, we were going to be out of the FA Cup at home against Stockport County. But that performance that the lads put in with 9 men, instrumental from Tom Greaves, instrumental for him on the Saturday as well, away at Stockport County when he came on at half-time. And he's rewarded with a substitute's role this afternoon. For me, you start with your best 11 against these, and you can bring on the left likes of Sefton Gonzalez, you can bring on Kinsella, but you start with your best team and you work from that. You know, and for me, it's just disappointing to see. I mean, also disappointing to see there's not a single one of the youthful players. I mean, I just had a word with Sam Baird. He's yet again, you know, just a little very upset that he's not even in the squad. He sat there. No room for Joe Logan. I spoke to Joe Logan. Joe Logan said, look, I'm fit. Now, Joe Logan, since he's come here, Paul, has been decent, and we've seen in the last two or three games he's shown a good bit of quality, and also his temperament of getting back in tracking and working hard has improved week in, week out.
A manager stands and then falls by his team selection.
It was a bit disappointing the way the Margie era ended, in my opinion, because you had the high of the cup final at Oldham, and
That was the time, I think.
I think we all agree with that, though, aren't we? Yeah.
I think Margie should have turned around after that cup final and said, "Now I've taken this as far as I can, and now is the time to go out gracefully, with dignity.
Is it Margie's decision to make that, or could have we?
I think he should have done it for himself.
I think, two things there. I think
eating a pie
as a manager, who've been here for a long, long time, realising it was a cup final comes and you win that cup final, and you've seen how the season's panned out. You know the problems that the club is actually going through. I think Kyle could have actually left the club in a lot better shape than when he did leave the club. Saying that, in the close season, the decision is CEO and board. The board should have been stronger. The board should have made the recommendation, should have sat Carl down. We could have gone through it properly in a professional manner, and we wouldn't have had this ridiculous start to a season. A manager leaving with an entire management team, then social media going absolutely crazy over it all, the world going crazy.
But as a club, we haven't learned from that, have we?
We haven't learned from it, but we should have learned from it, and the decision should, for me, in some cases, be taken out of the hands of a manager, because most managers will hang on as long as they can, unless they recognise themselves and they've got self-awareness.
I think,
and they could actually move on.
You're not going to resign if you've got a contract. I mean, that's not going to happen.
I think there were concerns in the boardroom during the summer, but nobody had a consensus of opinion to make a decision on it. So he was invited to continue.
Well, the thing is, as well, Carl could have. I mean, Carl obviously was a full-time employee of the football club, and again, that's something I think we're probably going to have learned from, because it wasn't only just involved in the first team, but you know, instrumental in a lot of other things within the club from a footballing side. So for Carl, that decision stepping down, I mean, it could have been worked. Look, Carl says, I don't think I can take this team any further, but I want to stay at this football club and I want to be involved in this football club still. So does Daz, so does Nicky Culkin and everybody else. The first team duties, let's hand them over to someone else. And Carl could have still been part and parcel of the furniture, the fabric of the football club, working in a different way. Maybe working more with the younger players, developing them on, and so on and so forth. And Daz himself.
That's what he's done since, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing at the moment. But that never happened. So he's just gone, you know, and a severance package and all what's come out with that, you know, a lot of things have been said about that. But it wasn't in the wrong way. We haven't learned yet. We haven't. We need processes in place to be able to make sure. I mean, I'd be very interested to know how the conversation went, or indeed how Tom has been given his new contracts. And, you know, do we have a policy and procedure in place now that protects Tom as a manager, protects his staff as management staff, and also protects the football club? Or are we going to be left in a situation again? Let's say we have a really bad start and the club decide, oh, we need to get a new manager in. Is there a procedure in place to be able to, like football clubs should have, to bring a manager in rather than panicking?
Tom comes in.
Yeah.
Tom and Jack come in from the academy.
Who's Tom and Jerry then?
And we have a series of brilliant results. Salford.
I think the moment in the season where we all suddenly developed the hope was at Moor Lane in the Manchester Premier Cup.
Ball chipped towards the back post. Is it slightly over? It was a man extra there if they need him, but it's good defending by Senior. And then great ball there. Absolutely wonderful ball from Jones. And it goes 50 yards to the path of McCarthy. McCarthy got the strength now. That's a decent ball. Should be through. What a ball. What a finish. And it all started with Jones deep in his own half. He put a lovely crossfield pass. And McCarthy, rather than coin inside, down the left-hand side, he put a ball of absolute inch-perfectness into the area. And there was FC's number 10, Gilchrist. He just ran onto it and he drilled it in. 3-0. The one thing that we did do, and what Tom did first of all, he reinstated kids. And kids will go, I've got a point to prove it.
It's the likes of Glyn on the night that Glyn, shone.
Well, Glyn's old red kick against Nuneaton.
Yeah.
And Logan coming in from the right, if you remember. And Walker playing left wing.
But let's not forget, all the
way. And a change of formation.
Change of formation is critical, absolutely critical.
Yeah. But all through all of this, up to this point, Senior's been playing. And Senior's getting better and better and better. You know, I think every scouter report probably, after those first few games, were, let's look at this lad, because he's got the makings of being, you know, a player that can move up a couple of levels.
Training was a critical part as well. Training schedules were changed.
Well, if you remember,
tactics were brought in.
If you remember that game,
scouting.
Dave Chadwick was here.
Scouting reports.
That game before Salford match, he got them in on the Monday, if you remember.
Yeah.
To talk about purely to go through a change in formation, which was, you know, quite remarkable. Really, considering we've got used to the idea of 4-5-1, well, he's the only way forward.
Well, no, he's also a manager that he's not a manager, so he's coming in thinking, right, I've got to... So he's just trying to do a few new things, wasn't he? Because he's never been a manager before, has he? So have you gone silent, Woodzo?
I'll come to you then for Dicey December. Harrogate, Salford, Spennymoor.
It's not that dicey then, is it?
He's back up again.
He's like a spike. His coffee's just kicked in.
Are we all ignoring Marine, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And Gainsborough away.
I forgot about that.
Away farms not really the best all season.
But I'm sorry to lose Gainsborough, and you know why? I'm going to miss going to the most bizarre chippy in the country.
Out of all the matches in December and that January period as well, well, you've got the list there.
Oh, yeah.
You've got
the
likes of the 1-0 draw against Brackley, Harrogate, 3-2, Salford, the Salford draw away, the Southport win, the Blyth Spartans match. Was it all down to Jason Gilchrist?
It was just bring up the Spennymoor game, which just put, I think that in one game that encapsulated the FC season in 90 minutes of bizarreness that we were abject for. A hell of a lot of the game. Maybe not abject, maybe that's being slightly harsh, but we were being fairly well beaten for most of the game.
We'll wait for this throw in to be taken from FC. It's Linfield back to goal, plays it to Tatton, ball played into the penalty. It's a decent one. Greaves leads the ball, there's an opportunity, equaliser! The back post. Well, Greaves must have heard the call because there was McCarthy at the back post, and FC United find themselves on level terms here at Spennymoor.
Well, we know the games over the festive period are dramatic, but 8 goals shared at the Brewery Field is quite incredible.
However, the form didn't last.
No, but
we did have to lose a couple of players, Gilchrist and Walker being the main ones.
The odd thing was that we took 4 points off Salford City, the champions elect, as they were. But we paid a heavy price for it by losing one of our key players.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I was talking to Jono on a show the other night, and the question I asked him was, obviously he had a great season, and I said, it turned, didn't it, when you brought Tom Walker in? I went, don't pinch any more of our players, please. And he actually said he brought something, a new dynamic to Salford, and he said he's the best footballer he's seen in non-league in his entire career. He said that lad is absolutely outstanding. He's changed it for us.
A few weeks ago, I was at Prestwich Airs and I was talking to Bernard.
And Bernard put him...
And he said that his exact words were, he will not be with us next season. Yeah. He will not be playing at this level next season. So,
well, he won't be. He's played in the National League now.
Well, yeah. maybe that's what he meant, yeah. But, yeah, That
was a big loss.
How important were you?
Logan getting injured.
Yeah, at the same time.
There was a couple of injuries as well. Corbett got injured as well, didn't he?
That arrested that momentum.
And what, it did get a bit nervy, we have to be honest. I mean, there was a lot of chat, a lot of doom.
I thought it was dicey December, not nervy December.
No, this was in February,
nervy,
March.
Nervy
now.
March.
Yeah.
Chuck Corbett, again, Corbett's injury, again, sums up the sort of Fred Carno... essence of the season. He got injured in a friendly on the 3G pitch against the Royal Air Force. You know, he didn't get injured in a crunching tackle against Stockport County or something.
Kind of clipped our wings, didn't it?
Very good. Hey, but that just some that that's a player who was playing well. And then it subsequently proved we missed.
You get Jared Garner in, and he starts scoring goals, and then we lose him. We get King in, he doesn't hit the ground running, but he develops into a goal scorer for us, and then we can't get him back, you know, and that's kind
You talked about Charlie and Telford being low points. How much of a low point was Harrogate away?
Simple passing for the home team. Thompson into the penalty area now. It's a good passage of play. He'll get the shot away if he can, and he's just dallying Tilly. Can he get 5-6 there? 4 for Thompson. Well, they allowed him, and you know what he's going to do. And if you don't close him down and you don't put a challenge in, then he's going to score. He's done that. It's 6-0. And, they surpassed their record against FC.
Yeah.
Yay.
I reckon the fans at that point saw it as a free hit because
the realistic ones of us did.
Yeah, the 4-0 at Kidderminster and the 6-0 at Harrogate were against high-flying teams looking for promotion on their own patch, and they were both very, very tough games anyway. Mm. The fact that we got hammered in them, it was some of the other games that were more embarrassing where
Leamington.
We didn't get results.
Leamington
was an embarrassment.
Both games.
Yeah.
We did seal it, though, eventually by, you know, beating likes against Trinity here. Broadhurst was the key. And a lot of people have said, you know, oh, Fortress Broadhurst, we need to... I mean, last season, we forget how bad we were.
Exactly. Well, I mentioned the other week, didn't I, on the half-time when Paul pulled up a start that, you know, about the wins away versus home. And that's where it's changed.
Six home wins last season, 12 this season.
And that's what's kept us up, essentially, do you think?
Away from home.
Won't be the waveform.
Away from home, 8 wins last season, 2 this season.
Well, I think you don't need to be a statistician to realise actually your home form has kept you in the division, Ben. I mean, you know, I can work that one out.
I'm reading that we've written to Lee.
I'm going to call this guy out now, right? Because I had a question lined up.
Okay.
Except, of course, when we go to Tamworth. And was that our second away league win of the
second
season?
Second away win, yeah.
And it took from York in August all the way to Tamworth in early April.
Yeah.
It's Linfield. Linfield plays it out wide right-hand side for McCarthy. McCarthy holds it. Cuts inside. Can't afford to lose it. Doesn't lose it. Plays it to... FC United's Irwin, lovely ball from Irwin to Linfield. Linfield and McCarthy there. Does really well, McCarthy. Into the penalty area goes. Can he make it 2? When he gets another opportunity, it should be 2 for FC United Manchester. It is 2 for FC United Manchester. And it was Linfield. It wasn't Linfield, it was Garner. Well, it was a little bit of battling quality from McCarthy. And the ball falls kindly, and again on a grass pitch, that's never going to be a goal, is it? Because it bounces up and bounces up. But
that is a killer blow.
That is the killer blow. That is 3 points to FC United Manchester. That might be the breath.
That's 47 points.
47.
In the bag.
Yeah, and that's also the opportunity, really, from an FC perspective, that we can go into the game next week knowing that our destiny is in our own hands, and that really is a killer blow to Tamworth here.
Yeah. Ultimately, though, we did stay up. Tom Greaves has been given the job now to the end of next season, at least. We've also got a piece of silverware in the cabinet as well in the Manchester Premier League.
It's there. It's that cabinet there.
Oh,
there it is. That's good radio, isn't it? There it is.
Again, though, it feels like we've not really progressed much. We're where we were last season. We've got the kid, exciting kids.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Ben? You say that. Have we stayed? Was an objective to stay up?
Yes.
So we've done that. Was the only trophy that realistically we're going to win out of promotion the FA Cup and the FA Trophy, the Manchester Cup? Have we won it?
Just
if you want to take it on that level, it's a successful season now. There's context around that, of course. But
so going into next season, because we can wrap all this in the same thing. What do we need to do to make sure that the mistakes that were made in pre-season
recruit very, very smartly this time?
The problem we've got with recruitment, of course, if you look at if we're going down the route financially of we're going to have to attract players without the offer of a contract, the recruitment may not be as...
Is that difficult?
I don't know. Well, we don't know, do we?
Isn't that how most Northern Premier League sides operate?
What we say is
so much about having to recruit players without contracts. Able to offer new contracts out, potentially.
Regardless what anyone thinks, it's tough to do so. So I would.
But there are Tom Walkers out there.
There are Tom Walkers, and there are diamonds out there in the counties that may be
senior
looking. I'm seeing as your example.
Tom Walker was
a couple of lads who I think will
Berry
probably.
Berry made a big mistake with Tom Walker.
Yeah, yeah. And Stockport did let him go.
At the end of the day, it's a situation now that it's brand new. For Tom, he's now been given the opportunity. He's got a season as player manager. I think the player manager is in all but name. Personally, I think he'll probably play in maybe the Manchester Premier Cup.
Yes, and the thing is, because he's not going to cost us anymore if he plays on it.
Yeah,
he's ideal as the backup, but I don't want him to be starting games. I want him to be manager.
I want to be manager.
Yes, I agree.
And I think they have had to have a plan. They surely have had a plan already about recruitment, players that they want, players that they believe that they can bring in, players that they can bring in on the budget that we have. If they haven't done that, it's going to be a very, very tough summer recruitment process.
But there are lads in the county. I've seen a couple of lads in the county. You think, you know what? If they're not going to cost us anything to bring in and they're not going to be on a contract basis, let's have a look at them. You know, there's a couple of lads at Prestwich and there's a couple of lads in the NPL at Clitheroe who score goals. Who you think?
Well, it's Kurt Willoughby.
That was one that I've got in my mind already. Absolutely, Kurt, Willoughby.
Curran at Cone.
He's on contract though. He's signed a new contract later in the season. There are lads who you think, you know what? Maybe it's time for you to take that next step and let's. We could be the club to give you that chance again. I don't know.
There are people. The likes of Dave Chadwick, who's at the club, who knows the non-league game quite well, who will have his contacts. Tom will have his contacts as well. Mm. And I suppose what Tom may well be able to do is be able to not only look at the Manchester players, but also look at the Yorkshire side, where he's very familiar with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So for next season, I mean, for me, you've got a good core of players, which I believe are to be a mid to top 10 team, fighting maybe...
To go back to what I said,
a little bit of promotion.
We should be a solid mid-table. And when I say solid, I mean they're all season, not going to necessarily go up, but we may hint at the playoffs, certainly not be flirting relegation. That's where we should be.
We're young to this division, we're young to football, so we don't have any divine right to go up.
Correct.
And we don't have any divine right to stay.
And we couldn't afford to
as
well.
We don't have the resources to do as well.
But
well, I think resources sometimes, I think the
I mean, we'll have a There's a politics side to this, and we're not going to cover it in this show.
There's not enough time. I think what we need to say is that Tom and the management team have done a particularly good job in the respect of their novices to this. It is new to them. There's not many managers in this division that actually halfway through a season become a manager. I can't think of anyone to note in the last few years that was playing football, who was sent out to Ramsbottom, who then came back, who then kept us in the FA Cup, then became the manager, kept a football club up, and also won a competition. So in that respect, it's been a huge, huge learning curve for Tom, a big learning curve for this football club. And, you know, together with his management team of Tom and Jack, you know, huge, huge for them. And next season, they're going to have to use that experience that they've gained and move forward, but we have to be better.
Finally, just before we go, your personal highlight of the season?
For me, it was the fact that Tom came back.
So the first game.
When he came back, and he came back, he scored, and then the next game, he scored a winner. You know, and I think for a player to come back and say, you know what, because I saw the dejection on his face. I saw him running up and down the touchline, going, why on earth am I on player on this pitch? When the likes of no disrespect, but when there's players coming on the pitch that with two divisions below him, and getting a game in front of him, you were thinking that's him done and buried. Did brilliantly well. My highlights are Tom. I'm getting the job.
Going toe-to-toe with Salford City.
There's now Irwin, halfway line. Great movement there from Walker. And Walker's carried on that run. He's going to get into the penalty area with the ball. Yes, he is. Going to get the ball into the penalty area. Yes, he cancels the back.
Oh, yes! Spees! Yes! Tom Greaves has done it for FC United of Manchester. Well, Walker never gave up their goals. The ball was played down the left-hand side. It was him versus Nottingham. And they went past him. It looked like he might have taken it too far. He chips it to the back post and breathes like a phoenix rising from the ashes. He floats in the air and he nods it down. And FC United find themselves 3-2 up here on 36 minutes. The 11 men of FC United Manchester coming back from 2-1 down to make it 3-2. And Tom Greaves, they said he was past it. What a goal. What a player. What a manager.
Twice in the space of a few days. And... upsetting the apple cart.
And finally, Woodsow, you get the last word.
Probably, I think the Spenny Moore away game, the second, where we just drew that 4-all, it was just, you come up to Christmas, you got the Christmas spirit, you know, there was a lovely skyline, it was just a decent little, first time we played up there, I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I didn't enjoy the 4-1, I'll be honest with you.
I'm going to say Southport away, but not for the pitch. For the crowd, so I left because there was an old school element to that.
They'd
all arranged it. There was another game here where there was a bit of a loving where everyone met up at the Chippy on Portland Street, didn't they? And came up here.
The 101.
Oh, right. So,
we had John Manning coming back.
They all came back.
Tony Howard was back and stuff like that. It's just, that's nice. And I think that points the way forward. We need to get a bit of that 2005 back as quickly as we can. Stato Paul, big thank you. Swampy, thank you. Woodsow, thank you.
I wish radio did facial expressions. If they did, Woodsow would have been banned off the radio.
This has been
sometimes right, sometimes wrong, always certain.
This has been an FCM radio review of the season 2017-18. You take care. Bye bye.
See ya.
FC Live there with their review of the 2017-18 season. And that's the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. We'll be back next week with a reaction to the women's team's Argyle Cup final with Stockport County. But in the meantime, you can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.